Welcome to Pain to Power, your go-to destination for real-life stories, genuine conversations, and a splash of reality, along with some real estate insights all in one place. I am your host, Kayla Cardona, and I invite you to join me on this transformative journey. Together, we'll delve into raw, unfiltered talks and experiences of overcoming adversity, finding the path to resilience, and rising above the pain. This is the podcast that empowers you to break through the barriers, elevate your life in every aspect, and unlock your true potential, regardless of your circumstances. And of course, we'll sprinkle in some good laughs and entertainment along the way. Welcome to Pain to Power. Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Life Changing Money. I am so excited because we have Kayla Cardona here today. Hello and welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited. Obviously, I know you from the show, you know, the show. Tell everyone where they might have seen you before.
Yeah, on Netflix called Selling the OC. Full of real estate and drama.
That is a good way to put it. I would love to know, like, how did they, do they like pick the people? How is that whole process?
Oh my gosh. Long story short, they actually found me on Instagram. Someone apparently interviewed to be on the show and they asked them if they recommend anyone. And I was recommended, and still to this day, I don't know who she is. I know it's a woman, but I don't know who she is. So I don't know if she's out there, but I want to thank her a million times. So she recommended me. They found me on Instagram and I thought it was spam and I didn't answer. And then they found my email. So they're very persistent. And yeah, I mean, it was during COVID time. So it was a long process, but yeah. I'm still blown away that I was, because apparently I found out later that thousands and thousands of agents interviewed and they only picked 9 and I was one of them. So that was pretty life-changing.
That is so cool. How random. Yeah. From a DM.
I know. And that's the importance for everyone listening. I'm telling you, your social media is your resume. You know, if you never know what opportunities can come. So make sure you guys put yourself out there.
We always say that too. People are like, how is a tax firm like an influencer on Instagram? And I'm like, people just like to relate to other people no matter what the topic is, you know?
So smart. You're like the only person I know that's doing that, putting out information like that, the way that you are. You're like the only one doing that. So you're doing something right.
Thank you. So were you an agent prior to the show?
I was at another brokerage.
Can you walk us through like your entrepreneur journey?
Yeah. So again, I'm going to keep it so real with you guys. So I was at another brokerage before, but I just got my license in 2019. Before that, I had a 10-year career in the beauty industry. So, you know, I got my cosmetology license, built my business, eventually opened up my own salon suite, and I was killing it being a hairdresser and living in South Orange County, being a single mom with no other source of income. I don't get child support, never have, never will. So I've always been the sole provider. So, you know, and there's a certain lifestyle that, you know, I want to give my son and, sure. And, you know, where we live in Irvine, which is not cheap. So, you know, I had to work 8-9 hours a day on my feet, and I was still bartending at nightclubs at night. And I was getting to a point where I was about to turn 30 and I'm like, I feel like I'm meant for something more and different. Like I need a change. And it was a bittersweet decision for me, but I just, you know, got the idea from my high-end clientele that told me I would be great in real estate. So I was like, that's random, but sure. Let's play around with that. Got my license, ended up becoming a personal assistant for a top producer at a brokerage. learned so much, basically threw me in the deep end. And for everyone listening, like if you want to get into the real estate business or any other business, the best way to learn is just going out there on the field and actually doing the work, not sitting in a classroom taking notes. So that's how I learned very quickly. And within a year, I basically told them, you know, I'm ready to stop being this guy's assistant because we were also butting heads, but I felt like I was ready and I wanted to go off on my own. Ended up going off on my own, was killing it, closing 1 to 2 deals a month. And then 6 months in, that's when Netflix reached out, started entertaining that. And then I took a huge risk by leaving my last brokerage, which was giving us generating leads. So all I had to do was close them, and I'm a closer, so that was easy. Going into the Oppenheim group, they don't offer leads. So I had to start all over entering the Oppenheim group and the show. So that was a journey in itself. So to answer you quickly, I was new going into the Oppenheim group. I was a newer agent on the show, and you guys will see that in season 1. I get my first luxury listing. So it was hard. It was very hard, but I just knew that taking the risk would be worth it. And it definitely was.
How did you get your first luxury listing? We have a ton of real estate agent clients that list, especially that listen to the show. And so I would love if you could give them some sort of advice.
I door knocked. Old school. Yeah. Old school way. I just put myself out there. Door knocking and then following up, calling, you know, whoever I contacted and leaving my information and putting myself out there. So that's how I got it.
So do you literally just knock on someone's door and you're like, do you want to sell your house?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's well, with my experience now, it's if you don't want to waste as much time, what I would do is get connected with your title guy and ask them, him or her, to give you a list, a hot list. Do you know what that is?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A hot list. And then for that, from there, I would suggest, recommend for people to go and like reach out to and door knock people on the hot list versus just going out and knocking on random people's doors. It will save you a lot of time. So I did that for, you know, a year or two. I'm actually planning to go back door knocking, believe it or not, in the next couple of weeks. I door knocked like a month or two ago because I'm training and mentoring my assistant that just got her license. So I went out there, and it was funny because I ran into some people that know me from the show. They would answer the door. They're like, oh my God, Kayla, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you know, just working. And they're like, you actually work? I'm like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
it's such a funny experience. Now it's like even more fun, especially when people recognize me.
So I'm assuming that you get a lot more leads now that you've been on the show, or is that a misconception?
That's a misconception, unfortunately. Yeah. There no one really on the cast has gotten much business from the show. So, but if you think about it, the people that actually watch the show, you know, we're in 192 countries, right? So it's not in Orange County, like people watch it from Orange County, but like the people that do it, the majority is like, obviously women, a lot of teenagers watch the show actually. So our target audience that watch shows like that aren't necessarily selling really big houses. So, you know, they don't really see that. So, but it's a catch 22 because I've heard, you know, people lose business because of the show, but I've heard people gain business because of the show. So I've experienced both, to answer that, to, you know, let you guys, I've lost, but I've also gained. So it just depends.
A lot of the drama is fake, right?
No, like, it's very much real.
Really?
Yes. They did an incredible job at casting us because we're all so, we have such big personalities and we're so dramatic.
What is your biggest listing to date?
Oh, Okay, I have my $28 million listing in Corona del Mar right now. We're actually in the negotiation process with counters this week. So we're hoping to open escrow next week.
So how does it feel to go from homeless to a $28 million sale?
It's crazy because, and I think a lot of people listening to this would relate, sometimes when you're so career driven, you forget how far you've come and you don't take time to look back and think, wow, especially every day when you're just trying to move forward every single day. And you don't, we forget to take the time and be like, when you're hard on yourself, especially, you don't take the time and stop and think, hold on, I came from this to this now. I need to stop being so hard on myself, you know? So I don't think about my past very often, but when I do, it's when I'm hard on myself and it's just a reminder of like, wow, like I'm actually doing this. So it's an incredible feeling, you know? It's more so of like other things that I'm doing. Obviously the business and the money is great, but it's like, you know, especially being on the show and this platform, it's given me an opportunity to reach more people. And so to connect with more people and to help more people, you know what I mean?
Can you share a little more about your past and upbringing and like how you became homeless and then got out of that?
Put it this way, I'm going to write a book. It is pretty crazy, my story. And then I plan to have a movie written after my book and my story because it's pretty crazy. It's never ending. It's pretty insane, but harsh childhood, broken household between, you know, my dad and my mom, they separated, divorced when I was one. So all the issues that came in with that. So I started off with a very traumatic, chaotic childhood. At the age of 17, I got pregnant and my family were unaccepting of that. And they basically, you know, gave me an ultimatum saying, you know, you better find an adoption family, or if you decide to keep your child, you have to leave the home. So I did find an adoption family and I was going to give up my child, but the power of God came over me. And 7 months pregnant, I basically stood up to my parents, which I was deathly afraid of, and told them, you know, I'm keeping my son. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I am going to have to figure it out. And so my parents basically, you know, wrote me off. They sent me away to a shelter and signed me off, and I was on my own. But in the state of California, when you are a minor and your parents still drop you off at a shelter, they still have legal rights over you. So it wasn't until I turned 18, then I was no longer a minor, right? So I got transferred to another shelter. And then from there, you know, shelters don't last forever. So I ended up leaving the shelter, living with a guy at the time that I was with because I needed help. I didn't have help. The father, my son, was never in the picture. That's a whole different story. He ended up cheating on me, getting another girl pregnant at the same time and marrying her while I was living in the shelter. Yeah, girl, it's crazy. So, and then after I left the shelter, moved in with a family, that became very abusive. And so I had to leave that situation and environment, obviously for myself and to protect my son. So I ended up being homeless because I had no place to go. And I was too prideful to call my parents because the last thing I wanted to hear from them was, I told you so. So then I was sleeping in my car. And then I finally decided to reach out to my aunt, and she allowed me to stay at her place temporarily until then I started renting rooms off of Craigslist and moving every 3 to 6 months. So that was a journey in itself. So in the meantime, with all that happening, I had 2 to 3 jobs at one time. The beautiful part about being such a young mom is I had the energy to be able to work all day, sleep for 2 hours, and then work all night and do it again over and over. And I was fine. Now I like need 9 hours of sleep. But
We are back. We're relaunching our Write Off Your Life course. We only do this twice a year. I go over hundreds and hundreds of deductions that you could be taking in your business. You'll be set up for the rest of the year to take more deductions in your business, and you probably haven't filed your tax returns for last year yet, so you'll be able to add these deductions into your last year's tax return as well.
So from there, I was working two jobs, went to school, got my cosmetology license, built my business for 10 years, was doing great. And then I already told you the story of me going into real estate. So that's basically in a nutshell.
Wow, that is wild. And how amazing is it that your son, right, doesn't Yes. have to go through any of that?
Oh, I know. And that's the beautiful part. But at the same time, trust me, sometimes I'm like, you know what? If only you knew what it's like, you know, like yeah. you want to like, you know, but we grew up together and he remembers some of those times and those moments. And it was hard. And thank the Lord, you know, him and I are so close to this day. We grew up together and thank God, because it could have gone a different way. You know, he didn't have a father. He didn't have any masculine, healthy energy around him. He didn't have a role model in that sense. And us women, us mothers, we can only teach our boys so much. There's some things that men have to teach boys. So it could have gone a different way, but thank God it ended up being absolutely great.
And how old is he now?
He's 16 now, he's turning 17 in December. We have birthdays in the same month. So I'm turning 35. He's turning 17. So.
Oh, what do you want him to know about money?
Money is a mindset. Money is a tool. Money is something that you could use to, you know, whatever it is that it could be different for a lot of people. I think, you know, the way that I grew up was you didn't talk about money. If you did, it was stressful. It was negative. It was nobody's business. It's very private. You don't talk about it, right? That was one household. The other household was, I can't afford it. Money doesn't grow on trees. It was very negative, you know, like scarcity mindset. And so I think I know what not to teach him. Now it's the other way around. Now it's changing your relationship with money and having to unlearn that. And it took me a really, really long time. So being okay with discussing about money and talking about money and just having a more positive mindset around it.
How did you learn to undo all of those things? Because I think a lot of us grew up in similar, I think that was just like the era back then. I'm 34 as well, where like parents just didn't talk about it.
Yeah. I think becoming self-aware and like just recognizing the challenging, limiting beliefs about money that could be holding you back. I think that's the most important number one step. And then just, you know, like financial education, like invest time in learning about personal and business finance to make more informed decisions. But you got to be self-aware first. Right? Because then you have to start learning about money, which people get scared of. I'm speaking from experience. I was scared of it, you know, and just setting clear goals, coming up with financial plans and just seeking support and consulting with professionals like yourself, right? Or mentors that can offer guidance and encouragement and just changing into a more fresh perspective on your financial challenges, I think is really important.
So you probably deal with like super high-end clients. Have you learned anything about money or building wealth from them? Like how have most of them built their wealth, or is it all different?
It's really all different. The majority, of course, is investing into real estate. You know, real estate is a long-term gain. I think a lot of people right now are living in fear, which is understandable, but people are living in fear right now because obviously with the interest rates being so high, and then you have the wars going on, which actually does affect people's decisions in investing and buying real estate and things like that. So, you know, so it is all different and I'm still learning. There's so much with that, like, especially with the listing that I have right now. I have never seen more trade offers ever. Even Jason, my broker, he was just like, Kayla, I don't think I've ever in his entire career in real estate has ever seen so many trade offers on a listing. So for people listening, so a trade offer is basically, you know, people come in, right? They buy real estate with either a loan or cash, right? So a trade offer is basically using like equity in your company and using that to buy a home or trading another piece of real estate. It could be in a different state and using that value and putting that in the offer. So it's like, but then it becomes more complicated because if you decide to accept the equity in someone's company, now you're accepting the relationship of this person that basically said, hey, I want your house. So you also have to like accept them into your life. So it just becomes a lot more complicated, but it's quite interesting. I've never seen anything like it. So,
wow. I've never heard of that either. And we do a lot of real estate investing and have a lot of clients in real estate, but that's cool. Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to buy a big piece of property and you have a valuable company, I mean, that's kind of cool.
It's possible. Yeah. I think more so, I think another point is that's doable if the owner of that listing or home that the buyer wants to purchase owns the home outright. So that's, you could do that and become creative if the owner actually owns the home free and clear versus obviously, you know, owing the bank or whatever. So that's the way you could do it in real estate. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Are you seeing more seller financing stuff right now because interest rates are so high?
I'm not seeing much right now. Not a huge tick. I've seen some here and there, but not a massive tick. I think sellers are even holding on to their homes more right now. And this is the OC market. I can't really speak on other markets. LA, San Diego, and Inland Empire is very similar to OC, but I really just focus on the OC. So I haven't seen much of a tick with that.
What are your money goals or investment goals right now?
So right now I'm investing a lot in myself right now because I have so many things coming up and that's just the era that I'm in right now. But my goals really is, dare I say it, I will always be in real estate, but being a real estate agent isn't something I plan to do for the next 30 years. It's not necessarily my calling. My son wants to get his real estate license. So I plan to be obviously continue for the next several years, but I see myself getting into more of the real estate investment side of things. I have a huge passion when it comes to like remodeling and like even like staging and things like that. Like I'm very creative. So I love the transformation of things, like making it better. I have a very good eye for detail. So I want to get more in that side of real estate, of investing and not necessarily flipping, but like remodeling and designing and things like that. So that's where I plan to go.
I feel like a lot of people kind of transition into those different areas once they're an agent. They're like, I actually like this part of it. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, real estate, like I said, being a real estate agent, it's great right now. And, you know, I'm making great money, man. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I'd rather be doing, yes, it is. It is very much a grind. It's not for everyone. You have to have very tough skin. You have to be consistent. People think going into real estate, you're more flexible with your schedule. No, your schedule is based around everyone else's schedules. You're working 24/7 holidays. What's that? that doesn't exist. So it's a lot. So I think, you know, it's easy for people to think, oh, let me just get my license, because everyone, it's so glamorized now with the shows and right that are coming out. And just the other day I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this ad that said, become a TV celebrity realtor star. And I'm just like, that's a thing. Like, they automatically attach real estate to celebrity real star or whatever. And it's like, it's such a, that's why so many people are going into it, right? So little do people know, once they go into it, they're like, wait a minute, it's nothing like Sunset.
Right. And then real estate agents get a bad rap because there's so many people in it.
I know. It's, yeah, exactly. You said it.
I love your style as well. Do you guys have stylists on the show, or is that all you?
So I found out that a lot of the cast members have stylists, and I'm like, what? Good for you guys, but I'm not paying. Like, again, like I'm balling on a budget. Okay. I like to save anyways. So I style myself and I have so much fun. I've always been into fashion since I was a little girl. So, you know, at my last brokerage, no joke, I was wearing like polos tucked into like my jeans. Like, it was so bad. So when I switched from my last brokerage to the Oppenheim Group being on the show, I was like, yes, finally, this is my moment to shine. And I just went all out. But I style myself. I do my own hair and makeup, except for the interviews. We do get hair and makeup done. But no, I style myself.
I love that. So even if one was offered to you, you would be like, no, I like to do it.
Oh, no. I would absolutely. I've used a stylist probably only 3 times, but that's been on interviews, not necessarily the show, just for time, because I didn't have time to go and figure out what I'm going to wear for this event. So that was very convenient. So every now and then, if I just don't have time to put together an outfit for something really important, then I will hire a stylist. Yeah.
I just hired one for the first time. Our like styling session is Friday, because I have like our big year end. Yeah. We have like our big year end event. And I was like, I just don't even have the time. So if you can just find me 2 outfits, I would love that. But now we have like 17,000 boxes sitting here, because, you know, you have to try on a million things to find the 2.
Yeah, that's so fun. I would, if I could just wake up and have a stylist, hair, makeup all day, every day, I'm in. But I'm not there yet.
Okay, so last question. When your son has his first real estate transaction, because you mentioned he wants to be an agent, what are you going to tell him to do with that money?
Save, invest. Very simple. And I think, you know, when you get that first paycheck, you just feel so inclined to go and spend it. But no, you can't. It's so important. I think especially for the newer generation, instant gratification is such a problem. And I think it's trickling down to our generation as well, just because of the internet and social media and all the other things we have going on. So it's easy to fall into that. But for everyone listening, save and invest, and then just watch your money multiply, you know. But I'm already having that conversation with him now. I'm talking to him about getting, you know, investing into like a duplex or triplex or quadruplex and living in one of them for a while and just collecting that. And then eventually, you know, invest into more. Or if you can't invest into something that big, then, you know, buying a small home, a fixer upper, fix that up, live in it for 2 years, move out, rent it out, buy another home, and just